presenting a talk on polycrystalline online, sorry, this is a bad angle, kinetic Monte Carlo simulations of electrode deposition. And my supervisors are Professor Mark Pfister and Master Bukadir. This thing, okay. So in electrode deposition, certain microscopic structures are preferred over others. And this depends on the type of application that it is used for. So, okay. All right, we'll find out. Yeah. Oh, start over. So in electrode deposition, certain microscopic structures are preferred over others. And this is based on the application that they're used for. And an example of this is in copper interconnects, where you prefer the 111 orientation. And this is because it's been found to improve the device longevity. So based on this, there's a need to accurately predict which operating conditions would yield these preferred structures. And one way to go about this is through the use of computer simulations. Because computer simulations can help you model both the nanoscale crystal morphology and the process dynamics and how they relate to each other, and also capture the behavior of the bulk, which is typically not done in experiments. So as mentioned, simulations are useful for the prediction and understanding of complex relationships in electrode deposition and how it relates to the morphology of the deposit. The method that we're proposing is a kinetic Monte Carlo simulation method that can simulate the electrode deposition of metal under both potentiostatic, so that's constant potential, and galvanostatic, that's constant current, operating conditions. And the reason we're using KMC is because we want to access details about the system at atomic scale, but at the same time, capture time scales that are relevant to the experiments, which is in the order of seconds, which, again, with MD, you're restricted by the vibrations of the phonons. So this method utilizes the multi-body embedded atom method potential to characterize the interactions between the atoms along with collective diffusion mechanisms. So this is a very brief introduction to electrochemical kinetics. I'm assuming most of you are not electrochemists. So this is your standard three electrode cell where we perform experiments. You have an anode or a counter electrode. You have a cathode, and this is essentially the substrate and where your reaction occurs. And you have a reference electrode, which is used to measure the potential of your system. And at this cathode, the reaction can be studied in isolation from the rest of the other reactions. And it follows this metal reduction reaction here. So you have some metal ions. It reduces to form elemental metal. And this process is an irreversible process. And the kinetics of this process is given by the current density, which is related to the rate of reaction through Faraday's law of electrolysis. So the current density of the cathode is defined by the Butler-Volmer equation, which is this equation right here. And it's a function of this term eta here, which is a function of the applied potential minus the equilibrium potential. So in KMC, we're coarse-graining in time through the use of propensity functions, and we're coarse-graining in space through the use of the on-lattice approximation. What this on-lattice approximation does is that it assumes that atoms would vibrate about specific locations that correspond to the minimum in potential energy. So see, these are the minimum. And to move from one minimum to another one here, you have to cross this energy barrier right here. So then based on this, we can approximate the location of metal atoms to only be on the sites on the crystal lattice, which again corresponds to the minimum. And in KMC, the microscopic state of the system is only a function of position and time. So that's a very brief introduction to the embedded atom method potential. It's a semi-empirical multi-body interaction potential that's based on quantum DFT calculations. And it could accurately capture the behavior of metallic systems because it has a multi-body term. And the parameters here are obtained from fitting DFT calculations to known experimental parameters of the metal. So this is the equation for the EAM potential. It has an embedding term, which corresponds to the cohesive energy, and a pairwise repulsion term right here. And together, that forms the interaction potential. So here in our KMC method, we're simulating the potential static, so again, constant potential, copper electrode deposition onto a polycrystalline copper substrate with three different orientations. And these numbers here just correspond to the orientation of the grain. The substrate here is randomly generated. So we place random seeds on an empty surface. Then we grow the surface based on that. And after that, we polish it down to 75% of the original height. And this is to mimic the process of mechanical polish that needs to be done when you're performing electrochemical experiments. Here we have this copper reduction reaction that occurs at the cathode. So here we, as I mentioned, we're using collective diffusion mechanisms. So the first mechanism we have is actually not collective, it's just the standard hopping diffusion mechanism. So you have an adsorb atom or an ad atom here, and it could diffuse to its first nearest neighbors there, so the ones that are in gray. The second case is something called atom exchange mechanism. So you have an adsorb atom here, it displaces downwards, pushing this bulk atom upwards, up so now it down goes down, and down goes there. The last one is the step edge atom exchange mechanism. So this only occurs at an edge of a terrace. So you have an atom on the edge here, and step edge, pushes downwards, displacing this one, that one goes outwards. So it smooths out your terrace, essentially. So this is the propensity functions, or the frequency of an event occurring in our simulation. So the first one is for deposition. So it's a function of this term right there. It's from the Butler-Wilmer equation. And that's the number of electrons transferred, elementary charge, and number of possible deposition sites per unit area. And this term right here corresponds to the surface energy contribution, because now we have polycrystalline systems. So the rate of deposition or dissolution is not uniform across the surface, and it's a function of the surface energy. So that's why we're introducing that term here. Similar expression is same for the dissolution. Now we just have the exponential is different because this corresponds to dissolution reaction, and this term is slightly different. Now we have, diffusion mechanisms. So all our diffusion mechanisms follow this type of expression. So it's an Arrhenius expression with activation energy here. But now there's two cases. The first case is when you perform the diffusion event, and we end up decreasing the energy system. So the energy barrier assists the activation energy. But if we perform the event, and we end up increasing the energy of the system, we actually account for that energy increase into the energy barrier as well. So now the energy barrier is the activation energy plus the delta E. And this is just the frequency factor. So as mentioned, we have a polycrystalline system. When we generate a polycrystalline system, we base the coordinates on the 1, 0, 0 reference coordinates. Then we rotate and translate them in such a way that we get our desired orientation and bring it into frame. So here we can have sites that potentially overlap between two different orientations. And the way we treat that is that if, say, you have orientation number 3, so that's the one that's colored in here, it's occupied. Any other sites from other grains that are vacant are inhibited from participating in the simulation. So this shows a result. This is when we're depositing copper at an overpotential, so how much potential over the equilibrium it is, of minus 0.1 volt. So this is the initial substrate. This is when a third of sites have been deposited. This is when two-thirds of the sites have been deposited, and when all of the sites have been deposited. So you can see the color is just not showing up very well, but the one here, supposed to be teal, is the 1-1-1 orientation, and it grows more three-dimensionally than the other two orientations. And this actually corresponds to what has been observed experimentally in homobataxy for copper. This one, this is just a side view of what the final deposit morphology looks like at different deposition rates. So you can see that the 1-1-1 grain is growing more three-dimensionally than the other two. The 1-0-0 here in dark blue is just relatively two-dimensional, and that again also corresponds to what has been observed experimentally. And the 1-1-0 is somewhere in between the two. And it's the same observation is made when you increase the rate of reaction. Another thing we had to account for, because now we have polycrystalline system, is that finite size effect can influence the results, because now if one grain just grows much, much faster than the other, it can cover up the entire simulation domain if our domain is too small. So we need to identify the point where the minimum domain size, where finite size effect will not influence the kinetics of the system. So the way to do that is first we need to find a way to track the kinetics of the system. And this is done through the surface roughness measurement. And the reason we're tracking surface roughness is that it follows a power law relationship with time. And also that's experimentally observed. There are experimental studies on how the surface roughness varies with time. So what we did was we increased the domain size. This is, so 20 here means 20 by 20 last spacings. So 20, increase it all the way up to 40, and see how the beta, which is the exponent in the power law, varies as we change the domain size. As you can see, at 30 by 30 lattice spacing, the beta term converges to around 0.5. So this indicates that here is our minimum domain size for a finite size effect to not influence our simulation results. And this beta term here at around 0.5 is actually similar to what's observed experimentally. That's shown here. So this is the exact beta we got from our simulations. This is the result from another simulation that uses multi-scale KMC. They're getting 0.04, we're getting 0.58. And the ones down here are the ones measured experimentally. So the first one is from a single crystal electroduction experiment. So their beta is 0.51. From a copper sputtering in a vacuum, the beta is 0.62. And in a stirred copper electroduction experiment, which is somewhat similar to what we're doing, is 0.45. So you can see that our results are in good agreement with what has been observed experimentally, and that other simulations using KMC and this for the same system has poor agreement with experimental results. And actually, I would point out that this experimental result and this simulation are done by the same group. So the last thing we did was look at how the overpotential affects the surface roughness. And as you can see here, as we increase the rate, the overpotential, or the rate of reaction, the surface roughness remains relatively unchanged. And that's because in our simulation, we're simulating kinetically controlled copper deposition. And surface roughness is actually more of a function of mass transfer from the bulk of the electrolyte to the surface, which we have not modeled. So it is expected that the roughness will not change as we change the rate. And this figure on the right here just shows how the roughness of each grain, so it would vary with the rate. Again, they don't vary very much as we vary the overpotential. And the one right here, that's for the 1-1-1 orientation. So it's rougher than the other orientations, which supports what we have observed qualitatively in the previous couple of slides ago. So the conclusions. So the method that we have developed accurately describes the deposit morphology over experimentally relevant operating conditions, rates, and temperatures. And we have actually proven this in a previous study that I removed for the sake of time, that we did a few simulations in a single crystal case, and we've shown that as we increase the rates of deposition and temperature in the experimentally relevant range, we still accurately capture the deposit morphology that we were getting from copper electrode deposition. And also our propensity scaling here allows for the surface energy to be taken into account is accurate in respect to how it describes the deposition kinetics based on what we observed qualitatively from the morphologies. And that the roughness time relationship that is predicted by our simulation is in agreement with experimental results when the domain size is larger than the critical domain size. So I think I actually removed, how much time do I have?
You have about 5 minutes.
I actually removed a slide, but I just want to talk briefly about future work that we're doing. So now that we have a proof of concept of the polycrystalline simulation, we want to be able to extend it to other things. So one of the things we have to do first is to optimize the simulation and just increase the computational efficiency of what we're doing. And the next thing we could do is also to extend it to multi-scale simulations, perhaps couple it with some continuum simulation on the bulk and see how mass transfer will now affect our roughness measurements. Yep. So thank you, NSERC and SharkNet. And I'll address any questions anybody has.
We go back to slide 13. Yep. So why is it that beta decreases at 25?
It just dips. This is an average overall. Like we've did a bunch of simulations. This is an average. So it could just be that and all the initial substrate were randomly generated. So it could just be random that it fluctuates until it stabilizes around after, like finite size effect obviously occur around here. So after this point,
but
it stabilizes.
You wouldn't expect as you average it over larger sample sizes that it would generally be strictly increasing, or that's not the case?
I don't think so. What would probably happen is that it would just fluctuate if I do more and more, or maybe I do like 22, 23, It would just fluctuate about some random thing, and then finally it would converge.
Any other questions? So that's a quick question. Your code 70,000 atoms, does it run in parallel?
No, it's serial.
It's serial, okay. This is a pretty, can you parallelize this problem pretty easily, or?
No, parallel KMC is not really well accepted.
Okay.
Parallel Monte Carlo in general, it's not really well accepted. There's a lot of issues with it, and nobody has really done it well or done it right for us to actually jump into and parallelize the code.
Okay.
If I may jump in. The problem, I mean, there are papers that present methods for parallelization of Kinetic Monte Carlo, but the issue with all of them, to my understanding, is that there's no way that you can approximate error. And so if you can parallelize something and it ultimately looks right, you have no idea how. With the accuracy, it's not really a computational method, it's just an ad hoc kind of. That's mine. If anyone else has a better understanding of it, I would love to know. But
yeah.
At this point, we're stuck with one clock.
Right.
Yeah. That's why we can't parallelize it. We have one kind of time update, and we can't distribute that.
Right. Okay. Any other questions? Let's thank the speaker again.